Hello and welcome to the Desire of the Nations podcast. I am one of your hosts, Nick Hawthorne.
And I'm Catherine Snyder.
Hey, welcome. We are here with this episode with some friends. It's not like a typical episode with one guest or anything, but recently here in Ohio, we had like a crusade, a three-day crusade, and we just wanted to talk about it because I guess the subject matter is kind of like finding the nations in your own city.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah. So we'll get to that.
True. Eventually. We will. Eventually.
But I wanted to throw our friends under the bus. So if...
Oh.
Mommy, help me.
So
I've been ran over.
That is Sharia.
Well, yeah, you may recognize Sharia. She's been on two episodes so far. We have a newcomer, Janelle. Yay! And we may have Anthony join us. May not. So we'll see.
Antoine. Shout out to my homie.
Okay, so we always do icebreakers, and Catherine asked them like 30 seconds ago, what if you asked Nick and I icebreakers? So we'll see if they can come up with anything off the dome. And I bet Sharia is actually pretty great at this. She says she's not going to be, but she's about to kill it.
She's got this look on her face that's
like it's processing right now.
About to stump them so hard.
It is processing right now.
Okay.
Oh, she did.
Don't push it. Don't push it out of my head now. All right. So with the people that we were with, their language is actually not written.
Really?
So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Somali Bantu, but the language is Mai.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So if I don't know if this is good enough, but you know,
we'll just ask it.
If there were any country that already had a language already established, like now.
Okay.
Like a country that has a language established now. Mm-hmm. If that language was not established, which one would it be that you would want to help establish it and why, based on how the language is now?
What?
So wait. So to understand, you're saying, like, for example, there's France and then there's French. And if it's not like a written language, I'd want to go in there and help them learn to make it a written language?
I'm going to give my example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I really like Eastern African languages, like Bantu languages. Mine would be Swahili. Like, if Swahili weren't a written language, I would go in there and I would like be the one to help learn to write it.
If it wasn't.
And I would change it from Roman writing to like musical notes, because it's such a musical language.
Mm.
It's so sing-songy. Mm. I would find a way that they could like incorporate musical notes in the writing. So, like one that's already written, but like how the what the good parts about it now. Like, why would you want to help establish it? Just which language? It's essentially, I'm asking in a roundabout way, what's your favorite language and why?
Oh, okay.
But, you know.
But in a more creative
way. Well, I don't know what my favorite language is, but I'm learning Japanese right now. And they have three alphabets, which is kind of cool, but also they don't have any spaces between the words, and that's why they alternate between the three alphabets. So it's like you kind of know that there's a new word, basically, because there's a shift in one of the alphabets.
So you would go in and put spaces, make it easier.
Maybe.
I'm here
and
to create
honestly,
space.
One of the alphabets is like, kanji is like the pictures. That kind of makes sense. It's just easy, makes it faster. But hiragana is the same, like, hiragana and katakana are the two other alphabets. And hiragana is like the original, and then katakana is any foreign word. So it, like, bread is in Japanese is pan, which is like the Latin. If you speak Spanish or French, you'll say pan too, basically. And so, but even though they have that phonetic system to write it down in hiragana, the original language, because it's a foreign word, they write it in katakana. So that's the only reason they use the alphabet is just for loan words.
Wow.
And so it's like, not really, but they make it necessary because spacing and stuff. But yeah,
I make my bread in a pan.
Hey.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Nick just gave like two thumbs up. Like,
two thumbs up.
Yay. I can't. Aww.
That's good.
Three alphabets.
Well, yeah, they
that's
do.
That's a lot. They, yeah. They're doing too much.
Right? Well, I don't know. Doing Chinese. Doing Chinese, do they even have technically an alphabet? I haven't learned it, so I don't really know. But what I'd be looking at, it looks like it's
Chinese.
It looks like it's just kanji. Which it's kanji's not the word that they use for it, but kanji's like the picture alphabet kind of, and
that's what they have.
There is kind of a phonetic system to it technically, but it's mostly memorization. And there's about 6,000-ish kanji in Japanese, and there's a way more of that in Chinese, but it's not called kanji. So if you're Chinese and listening, forgive me. I know it's not kanji, but yeah.
I'm like teetering between two different languages, but that's how I always am. I'm always like, oh yeah, there's a one answer, but I have like four. So it's like, I was gonna talk about French, but that was like kind of already mentioned, but I do love French because it's pretty. It was like used as an example, and then I was like, well, that would be the one that I would choose. I think I would choose, I would choose Hebrew, probably.
Ooh, I like it.
Really like that. Because I took a couple of Hebrew classes here and there. And I just, like, remember kind of loving the fact that there was, like, pictures in the alphabet. That, like, their alphabet, each letter has, like, a definition, essentially. From what I remember, and it was really cool because, like, the way that they're designed, like, actually means something. It's like artistic. It made me excited because it looked, I don't know, the way that the language is written, the way that the letter is written, the way that it's designed looks like something, and then because it looks like something, it stands for something, and there's just so many layers to the alphabet and to the design of the language, and it's just really cool. I love it.
That's awesome.
I like creative things, and I like pictures and words, and so it's kind of cool to have the two of those like collide in a sense.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hebrew. Sweet.
Ani medaberet ivrit.
She's speaking Hebrew at us.
I don't know it very well. I only took like four classes so far, so
I took nothing.
It's very, but well, I was just saying, I think it's just such a cool, deep language with a lot of layers to it. Of like, oh, like this one letter means something, and then you put it all together, and it's a word. And but when you look at each letter, it might mean something. So there's like three things you can think about, like from
and numbers
one
too.
Yeah, the numbers are correlated.
The numbers are the letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, and like when the number correlates with the letter, it's like a symbol for something else too.
Yeah.
So it's just like, there's so many layers, and it's,
yeah.
And it's God's like, it's like what the Bible was written in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just like really cool to like read the Bible with that perspective too, but I just like the depth of the language.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm. Janelle?
I would learn Arabic.
Either, yeah.
I was actually studying it for a while because I was actually going to live in Morocco. That was my plan. And so I would change it so it would be easier for me to learn because it was really difficult. I didn't even get to the reading stage or the writing stage or anything. I was just looking at pictures and learning them from that. But, yeah, that's what I would choose.
Hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So there's Swahili, Japanese.
Swahili, Japanese, Hebrew.
And Arabic.
Mm. Arabic.
That's a grab bag of languages.
Yeah.
It's not the typical ones you think of.
Off
the top of the dome.
Yeah. Off the top of the dome, that question came.
Off the dome.
Just so everyone knows, right before this, I'm going to just say it. What's the name of the band?
BTS.
So their song Dynamite, we definitely just tried to learn the choreography of
that
song.
They definitely tried.
And and now it's all stuck in our head. So here we are.
Wait, why did Off the Dome trigger that?
Because you said dun dun dun.
You sang it.
you sang it
in the melody
now.
Of what we just listened
oh
to.
My
now it's stuck in my head. Now I'm like, oh no. breaks into dance. If you, you don't see me right if now, but I just learned the whole choreograph.
With another language. In another nation.
Ooh. Ooh. Actually, I don't actually know.
That's actually a good question.
Oh, if you recorded a worship album in another language, would it be?
I'm actually doing that.
You cheater.
Shri and Janelle can answer that question. Yeah.
What album were you recording?
Well, it's not
you
one
can
language.
Choose another one if it's a spoiler alert.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
multiple languages.
Oops. Well, I'm prophetic. Sorry, y'all.
It's being released soon.
I'm excited.
Well, can you choose one that's not on there?
For your next project.
I do, I have been making some different renditions of worship songs in Chinese that I looked on YouTube to see if anybody had made them, and they hadn't. So I've been making cover songs in Chinese of different worship songs.
Dang. Yeah, we were making worship songs in my mind.
We were. Pretty much. That might be it.
We knew about 10 words of the language, but we sure...
We sure...
I don't know what the phrase is. Yeah. Those 10 words. We sure...
Milked my mind.
My mind. Anyways,
Janelle's shaking her head.
So, what would I do?
I don't know.
I can't do the obvious ones, so I gotta think outside the box. Russian. No.
Ooh, Gaelic. I love Russian.
Gaelic. No, I can't see. So Afrikaans. No, I would do. Let's see. Let me think. I'm thinking. I'm gonna get there.
Canadian English.
Oh no, actually no. I do have an idea. I want to do I don't have a specific language, but I would love in whatever language, because there's multiple, but like Native American worship, like Cherokee or something.
Yes,
like,
that's a good idea.
I want that. Yeah, cool.
And do my every Moravian spot.
Spoilers. Anyways, so yeah.
There's a lot of
really good ideas.
Yeah, a lot of spoilers.
You guys?
Oh, I would probably actually do Chinese as well.
Ooh.
Just because I am currently nannying for a family who's Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it would just be really cool just to be able to sing to the little girl I watch in Chinese. Like, and so that she can, like, know the Lord. And
your reason's much more precious than mine.
I think that'd be cool.
That's awesome.
More fresh.
Right.
Yes. She's precious.
I don't know, but for some reason, like, I don't know what this would look like, but I thought of, like, okay, like, thinking of two different nations that might not get along and learning their languages. Singing a, like, duet of worship.
That's a thing.
There is. Oh. I showed you the...
Hebrew and Arabic.
Yeah, there's a house of prayer in Jerusalem, I think.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of youth, and they do songs bilingual in Arabic and Hebrew.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I had no idea that existed, but I was like... There. That would be a powerful thing to do as a declaration of, like, healing and unity.
So good.
Over space like that.
Yeah.
But,
Japanese and Korean.
Yeah. Awesome. Japanese, Korean, or...
I think more Hebrew and being Arabic. Hebrew now, or no?
South Korean and North Korean is the same language, I guess.
Is it?
Korean.
I know, but I didn't know. But I didn't know if all the years of separation, they both evolved.
Oh, that's
kind of
interesting. I wonder if they have different...
Because I know Korea itself, like South Korea itself, they have about each kind of like state. I don't know what they're called, but they have regions.
Mm-hmm.
They each have their own dialect, technically.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how different it is, but I do know that they have different.
Kind of like New York versus Texas.
I guess. But if you like learn Korean, you're mostly learning the Seoul dialect, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Columbus.
Yeah. So.
Dang.
One day. It's on my list of one of the languages I want to learn.
Oh, cool.
Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida. Oh my gosh. My oh Saranye, but Kamsahamnida. A bunch of my friends in California, we like always say that because my two friends are, shout out to Nicole and Abby, but they love Korean films. So they taught us all Kamsahamnida and Saranye.
My friend from college, her name's Dorothy Park. Well, she's married now. I don't know her last name, but shout out to Dorothy. She's Korean. She's like real like urban. So she'd be like Kumapsyo. Like Kamsahamnida, like Kumapsyo.
What's that mean? Gosh.
That's her version of thanks because she's real like
Kumapsyo?
Edgy. No, Kumapsyo.
Kumapsyo.
Like Kamsahamnida. Like Kumapsyo.
Oh my
she
gosh.
Just changed it up.
Oh her and Janika. Spread that out there.
Oh my gosh.
Kumapsyo.
Kumapsyo. All right, Nicole and Abby, we're gonna
shout out to Dorothy.
We're gonna have to bring that slang into the.
Oh no!
Bring it in,
Dorothy. You started something, sis.
Hey, come. She can't even hear it.
I'm sending this to Dorothy.
Do you want to go another round of question? One more question.
Maybe.
Janelle has one. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, I do.
Yay. Okay.
I'm pondering this. Okay. Oh. If you were a scientist and you could discover any type of animal in the world, what would it be and what would it look
like? An animal that already exists?
No. Like you could discover
what?
It.
Oh, and what would it look like?
Yeah. What
That's
would it
so
be?
Funny.
Oh,
I love it.
Okay.
I mean, Oh,
gosh.
I think mine would be some sort of animal that has almost a similar intelligence as human beings because they were smart enough to stay away from society, that they stayed away for so long that they created their own communication systems that they could intentionally learn how to communicate with us and we could communicate with them. Thinking of Dr. Doolittle, honestly. But it would be furry and it would be like maybe half the size of us because they'd want to stay away because they knew that like if humans like get in contact with us they're going to want to domesticate us and make us their pets.
Oh my goodness,
sounds more like aliens actually. I think I just discovered like the raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, God.
I think that's what I just discovered. What's his name again?
Rocket.
Rocket. I think I just discovered Rocket.
So essentially, Sharia would discover Rocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's kind of ratchet, but you know, it's all right. He's funny. Am I allowed to say ratchet on here?
I don't know.
Sorry.
I'm going to bleep it out so you'll never know what she said.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
No!
I'm joking.
I'm joking. Saying.
She said ratchet.
I'm saying.
He's saying.
Nick.
You know what? He's joking, but like one time we did a podcast and we referenced him editing something in a certain way and he did it. So
I did do that and I'm never going to do it again. I learned my lesson.
Why? It was so funny.
What, my story?
Huh?
My story about doing the bleep out thing?
Oh,
that's
no.
The one you're referencing. Oh.
I was referring to the Tarzan.
Yeah, the Tarzan thing.
Oh. I totally edited a video where I bleeped out people's words and I learned my lesson. Never again. Anyways.
So he won't be bleeding.
I was a child. Anyways, I was in high school. So, anyways. So, I have maybe two.
Okay.
One made me laugh because the name I made up for it. The other one does have a name, but I would just... a woofagus. It's like a Pegasus, but it's a bigger wolf, so you can ride on it and it flies, and it's a wolf though.
That sounds like that animal from that movie. Was that the Land Before Time? You remember the movie with the big animal back in the 80s or the 90s?
Yeah, it's the Never Ending Story.
Yes, that's what I said.
No,
like.
But he don't look
like
that. It looks like a wolf. Anyways, but this is the other one I had. It's kind of like a red panda, but almost like the side, like, but kind of like. If you mash a red panda and a flying squirrel together, and he can hold on my shoulder and then fly away, but he looks kind of like
a
red.
Tiny
he's got
panda.
He got a little tail on. He got yeah. A little he got
tiny.
A tail like the red pandas.
Oh, a tiny
but
panda
a little.
With that can fly and glide.
Like a sugar glider.
You guys didn't see the face that he just made to the microphone. We should get a video for this podcast that can fly a guy and then he like does his face like, y'all know that's great.
Like, know a that's smolder. Great, so. I invented that. Flying panda. Oh, man.
Good thing God didn't put us in charge of creating animals.
Oh, that would be dope.
That would be actually pretty cool.
He made some weird things, so
it, I like it. And I can hold him on my shoulder. I'd have a whole
bunch of ratchet raccoons running around.
With like 400 eyes. Like,
yeah. Instead of cat lady, she's going to be a raccoon lady.
I won't be able to come over.
At least they could get me out of jail.
Sorry, could you imagine if a bunch of raccoons just come and break someone out of jail? Anyways, what about you guys?
Oh, yeah. So for me, I feel like my animal would be like a combination of a white tiger, a horse, and an eagle.
Okay.
That sounds like the Book of Revelation, minus the tiger.
Okay, well, I don't
That's
know.
That's amazing.
So wait.
What
part's the horse?
So it would be like the white tiger, like face and like
design,
color and stripes and stuff. And they have those beautiful blue eyes. And then the horse, it's almost like the horse would just be the rideability of the animal.
Oh.
So, like, you know, you can ride a horse, but you can't really ride a tiger. But, like, you would be riding this white tiger. I don't know. I've never tried. And then also the eagle part of it would be that it would have wings. So it would be this, like
a Pegasus.
Or what's the
but
other?
But not,
there's
because it's
thing.
A tiger.
Oh.
There's another thing like that. A griffin? Is that what it's
Tegasus.
Called?
A Pegasus.
The wings.
A flying liger. Illegal.
We like flying.
It's illegal. It's not illegal. It's illegal. A lion eagle. No. Lion tiger eagle? Illegal. I have no idea. The animal I see in my head.
A
teagle.
Horse.
A tiger horse?
A tiger horse, yeah.
A tiger horse seagull.
No, a tiger horse, because the eagle.
Tiger.
I tried.
Like eagle, tiger horse.
It's a tiger horse.
I'm still trying.
Ooh.
A tiger horse.
A tiger sky horse.
Well, because the eagle implies that it flies.
Yeah.
Bars.
But you can't really hear the eagle. So like a tiger.
A teagle horse.
A teagle. So yeah, okay. Everyone try to picture that animal, and then that's what I discovered.
Send us a drawing of it to our email, nationspodcast@gmail.com.
Perfect.
That must be the key. No, it's your turn.
That's my animal.
I would just want miniature bears.
Oh my gosh, like a little pet
like
bear that you can
bears.
Walk.
Like you were talking about being the raccoon lady, I would be the bear lady. Just all these stray bears coming up to my house. And
but they're like dogs.
Feeding them. But they're like, no, they're like cats.
Tree is very scared. Tree is very scared.
Cats but they'd be little bears, and they would be all different colors, and they would be my friends.
Like we bear
And
bears.
I could put them in my purse and take them with me.
You say mini bears.
Yeah, like mini bears. Like a little
cat-sized
bear.
Mini bear.
Like little, like, Beanie Baby bears.
Beanie
yeah,
Baby.
Dude, like they're still
yes. I would hold a little tiny bear.
Bears. I just love bears, FYI. That's my favorite animal in the entire world.
Okay, so. I just have to tell you that one time, I had a dream, like, years and years and years and years ago when I was, like, actually really sick. And I think that the medicine, like, gave me these dreams. But two things that happened in the dreams. One was a made-up animal called a pominomalu or whatever is the dream.
What?
I saw it was like this weird like horse bull looking animal. I was like, what is this? And then the other thing was miniature bears.
Miniature bears.
And I was like, what's wrong with me? I'm going to find medicine.
I would find them. One day.
Pominomalu. So that was my invented animal in my dreams when I was super sick. And I was like, wow, I still remember it so vividly to this day.
What did they have you on, sis?
Dude, they thought I had whooping cough and gave me antibiotics, and it did not go well for my system.
Oh.
Or my brain, or my sleep.
Okay.
But yeah, baby bears were
baby dreams. Little bears.
Little tiny ones, like, that
miniature.
I put in my hand.
There you have it, folks.
Like gummy
the questions
bears.
You never asked for, we answered. Mm-hmm. And you
That's actually very true.
Oh, my God.
The questions
you never asked for.
Sheree
is dead.
Oh, that's great.
She's
yeah, Yeah, that's my segue.
Oh, my heart. The segues are all
the meat.
So
we recently had a crusade.
Breath.
She gone. But yeah, for real. Anyways, so recently at a crusade, I guess to give a backstory, we're in Columbus, and Columbus, it has the second biggest Somali community in the U.S. outside of St. Paul, Minnesota, I think. And honestly, like, Somali itself is like a hard to reach nation. Like, you don't hear about many people doing mission trips there, but probably for good reason, because, you know, it's very limited in how many Christians can go or who are there. And the persecution there is super real. It's illegal there. And so it's just crazy. The opportunity that we have nowadays is like, well, we may be restricted in going there, they're over here. And so, like, God will bring the nations and make a way where there is no way, you know? And so, because it's so, like, hard there, a lot of them are, like, refugees. Because I worked for a Somali school here once. And, but basically, we did a crusade in a prominent Somali neighborhood just to reach the nations that are already
in
here.
Neighborhood.
Because if you can't go there, they're here. And you can reach them here because... For sure, they'll go back, and they have access back, and, you know. But we decided to do a three-day crusade in that region. Sharia and I here were a part of the worship team, so like you heard us say, we learned about 10 words of their language. It's not a written language yet. Because this was a specific community within Somalia. It's not just Somalian, but it's Bantu Somali.
And they're rejected by the other Somali.
Yeah. And there's, like, a lot there, but... Yeah, but we learned some of the words in their language to worship, and we pitched a tent right outside their neighborhood, and went for it, and there's just been cool testimonies out of it. I'm sure more to come, and but yeah, we just wanted to kind of discuss it and process about reaching the nations that are in your own city. Hello and welcome to break time for this episode. I hope you've been enjoying it so far. I was gonna almost say a ratchet tree, but I don't know if we're allowed to say that here. But anyways, they're behind me. You heard the laughter. But we don't have much to advertise today, but if you Yeah, I mean, Worldfire, what's the website, y'all? Tell it. Anyways, is it? I don't think.
I'm almost positive.
Anyways, they're looking it up right now, but I just want to tell you that you can also support us by being a monthly giver. There's links below in the comment section if you want to send us your testimonies of what the podcast has done for you or just even you and the nations. Send it to nationspodcast@gmail.com and like, subscribe, share, review. All those things help tremendously. I feel like I say that every week, but people really don't understand how amazingly awesome it is when you do that, because it makes us out there more. It puts us out there more for people to discover us. Share with your friends.
And it is worldfire.church.
It's worldfire.church. Check it out. We do mission trips. It is a local church, but also has a much larger expression to the nations. Is kind of its own nonprofit as well to the nations. So, check it out. And now for the regular anchor ad. Yeah, so I don't know when to kick it off, who wants to kick it off, or what they saw there. We could share some of the testimonies we heard, or I don't know if anyone wants to share anything first, but...
I mean, I like what you were saying. I love the reality of the fact that we got to, like, step into another nation in our own city. Like... The first day felt like I got there and I felt like I walked into, like, I was in another country.
Absolutely.
Like, I legitimately felt like I was not in America, let alone Ohio. Like, I was just like, what the heck? Like, this is so cool. And it's just, it's like God showed himself as knowing no borders, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, like, it doesn't, I can bring these people to a place that's easily attainable for my kingdom to reach. Even, like, even if people try to block them from hearing this, and even if they see them as the least of these and they reject them, I'm still going to pull them out, put them somewhere where the gospel is then going to be available to them. Like, that's just cool to me. And so, and the reality of just, like, feeling like I was not in America, mm-hmm. just in a second, like, in just a moment, just walking in and being like, wow. Like, and it's been, it's cool, too, because World Fire, like, I mean, that's the that's the church, that's the organization that kind of was heading this up, a lot of it, and, like, they also have done a lot of, like, you know, missions in Africa and going to the nations, and I love that this created such an atmosphere of, like, we're not just going to do this in different countries if we're not willing to do it where we are.
Judea, Samaria, versus
Amen.
The utmost parts of the earth. I think what I liked about it that was that even though it was hosted by World Fire, the body of Christ came together from different churches
all over,
just all over, who wanted to see the gospel reach this people group. Now, that's the crazy thing about this people group is when we were talking to the missionaries, this is not just in the neighborhood, but in the world altogether. You can count, before this crusade, you could count the number of my believers on your hands. Like, I think there's like at least 20. Like her fingers and toes, she said.
Yeah. She said they personally knew 6.
Yes.
So, but yeah.
And they would literally go.
And they're missionaries to the people group. Like, literally. Yes.
They would go. When we met with them, they had just come back from one state, which is across the nation. And then they were leaving two days later to go to a whole other state on the opposite side of the nation just to check up on the my believers in this nation.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
they're like called, and I know that they go, they're hands-on consistently in the region of Columbus that we were going to, so they have relationship with a lot of people in that area already.
Yes.
But it's just, they are so dedicated to that people group that they also travel across the U.S. to visit the people group in the other cities that they're in. So. Yeah.
But I just think it's awesome that, like, all of the body of Christ came together to bless this people group. And it was so interesting because at the end, the last day of the crusade, we were singing the blessing. That you know, like, the Lord bless you, keep you. Yeah. No, that's not it. That's Carrie. That's
well, she's saying that too,
that's Kim Walker, but yeah. Oh. But it's the same. It's the same scripture. It's the anyways. Anyway, so we were the May is favor. You know that song. So we were praying it over them, and we were all placing our hands. And every single person I've talked to who was, like, part of that, who were part of different churches, they were like, we really felt like we were supporting them even in that. Mm-hmm. My friend Josiah had recently mentioned a lot of times, like, especially with things going on in our generation now, how it's like, well, yes, we're supposed to be the answer to our prayers, but, like, focusing a lot on that, we forget that prayer is actually a verb, and praying is just as much doing something. And so us blessing. And the main missionary lady told us afterwards, she was like, she overheard some of the my like women and the Muslim women saying, like, wow, like, they're blessing us. You hear those? And she was videotaping it. Those Christians are blessing us. And she said it gave them a different perspective on Christians. They were like, wow. They're blessing us. Like,
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Jane told us at the very end.
The women.
Cut out her name.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, I mean, she just mentioned it at the very end. And, like, honestly, that part of that night was, like, my favorite thing of the whole crusade, because it was just it was just such a powerful, like, picture of
unity
and just blessing that goes beyond what we can see, you know. Like, it's like Jesus is, like, for these people, like, whether they think he is or not, like, whether he, like, you know, it's just, it was a really powerful thing to just stand there and, like, sing that over them and, like, show that it's like, no, we want him to bless you, like, we don't want him to, like, bring his wrath on you or something like that, you know, like, maybe dismantling lies that they've been, like, told or thinking about Christianity, let alone Jesus himself. So yeah, I just thought
that was... Wow, I didn't know that part. That's yeah. awesome.
It was really cool.
Were they there, or did they just hear it from the neighborhood?
No, they were there.
Okay.
And then they were recording it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because when we were on stage, there were so many people that, like, even though you couldn't see them all under the tent,
yeah.
I saw people in windows just like watching.
Oh, wow.
And listening, and then like people like across, like, because in like Muslim culture, if there's like a church service, they feel like they can't come in.
Mm.
But they were like standing around the, I could see, like, I yeah. saw people like standing in their windows and like standing in the peripheral just watching and listening.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite moments was near the end too. We had a bunch of the children come in.
Oh, yes.
We were singing God is Good, and mm-hmm. we were singing Praise Jesus, but in their language. And they were dancing and singing all the lyrics.
Yeah.
So the children themselves were saying, praise Jesus, praise Jesus.
Well, here's the yeah. funny thing. So in Muslim culture, they don't dance or sing.
Yeah.
They just chant. But one of the girls, the older girl who came on the stage, so the first day when we had the sound check, we sang that song. She was like, are you going to sing it again? I was like, yeah. But then they all left when it started because they had to go to dinner. And they didn't come back till the last day, and I'm like, and she was like, I'm gonna dance, and so she was so shy, and I was like, mm-hmm. I kept pointing to her, I was like, here's your chance, here's your, and she was dancing to like, God is so good, Jesus
yes.
is so good to me,
come on.
Yeah, and they were singing it, and it was just
yeah.
awesome, because yeah, they were just declaring it.
Yeah. They really were, like,
yeah.
so much. And it's cool too that it was the kids, because honestly, so there was like, I think it was a week prior to the crusade,
yes.
too, that
oh, yeah.
a couple of us went to go to...
just pray.
Just
in
pray.
The neighborhood.
Yeah, praying. And we ended up at a middle school, and like it was right near the area that we were going to host the crusade. And then literally as soon as we get there, there's like 10 kids that come running to us, like wanting to play, wanting to hang out. Oh, it was like five. Oh, okay. So like five kids. there were more, because like throughout the time... It was the boys and then the older girl and then
it
the
was
younger
five
two.
Kids.
Okay.
And then there was five of us.
Okay, so there were ten
to
of us
people.
Total. Whatever. Like yeah, five to ten people. And so there's like a bunch of little kids that come and like end up playing with us and like playing soccer and just like hanging out. And the whole point of that evening was like, oh, like we really want to like get God's heart for like what the crusade's gonna hold.
Yeah.
And you know, like the fact that there was like children that came running over and like wanting to play and like kicking the ball around and just enjoying life together.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but like being open and like real about stuff. Like one of the little girls was opening up to me about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. They're so raw,
the
and it was
boy.
So random and like not so random because it was God's heart
mm-hmm.
in a sense, because then you fast forward to the actual like day of the crusade and you know, it's like all the kids start coming around.
Yeah.
And then around, I think it was like one of the days that we were hosting the crusades earlier before I got there, I was reading in Mark when Jesus like refers to children. And then
mm-hmm.
like the disciples were like trying to tell people, no, don't bring the kids. And he's like, don't turn away the children. Like
mm-hmm.
this is who the kingdom belongs to. And then
yeah.
like the very last day, it's like, a bunch of the little like kids coming over and dancing
and they
singing,
brought their
and, like,
parents
yeah.
yeah the kids brought their parents the
right.
next day is like all the kids mm-hmm. that came the first and second day, like the third day their parents were showing up
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah, so that's like it's like the kids were the key
yeah
which was just so cool to like see that
yeah
I don't know, I love that train of events
yeah
with the kiddos.
There was I wish our friend Sierra had to leave, but she had a testimony of one of the kids during that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
So while all the kids were dancing, there was this one kid that came over to her and he got prayer and like really got filled with like the spirit of God. Like he
wow.
was getting touched. He went, he made sure he wanted to get a, like, cause he didn't want his friends to know he was getting
so
prayer.
He was like secretly doing it.
Yes.
It was one of the kids down up front dancing.
Yes. And came and got prayer and he was like crying and receiving everything that
oh
she was
gosh.
Saying.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's so
awesome.
Many testimonies.
Yeah, I, like, we honestly, I mean, I feel like I don't know a lot.
Yeah, it's only
yeah.
been, like,
yeah.
2-3 days
yeah.
since
it. And then when we're on the stage, we, at least, I just feel like being on the stage, I'm doing my part, happy
yeah.
with it, but I miss a lot. And so, but I can't wait to hear. There's some crazy testimonies that we heard, even, like,
yeah, the kidney.
The kidneys.
Yeah.
yeah. So yeah. A lot of people were like literally praying into this event weeks ahead of the crusade, going to that neighborhood just like we went. And there's these guys walking around, and they ran into this guy with a bicycle. Well, backstory of the bicycle guy is his bike just got stolen. He was borrowing a friend's bike, and he was inside, and he had like kidney problems. His dad
and his grandpa.
Yeah both had it was like generational kidney problems. He was on a wait list to get new kidneys. He was doing dialysis once a week or something, or starting that. And
he was about to start it.
He was about to start it. They
just found it.
Yeah, that it like he inherited it. And but basically, he was inside. He was gonna go for a bike ride some point that day with his friend's bike after his bike got stolen. But there's just a voice that came to him and said, "Walk outside and ride your bike." So he went out to the sidewalk to start riding his bike, and the person was like, "No, wait, the voice." And obviously, we know who it was. But like,
right.
Then,
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And then, well, these two guys who were on a prayer walk ran into him, and they started talking, and they asked him if he wanted to pray for anything. And he told them about his kidneys, and they like prayed for him, and he said he felt something, and just exchanged numbers. And so a couple days later, he like texted them. He was like, "Hey, I just want you to know, like, that was amazing. I did feel something different, and I got new kidneys." And they're like, "How do you know you have new kidneys? Mm-hmm. Like, how?" And he was like, "My doctor told me I'm no longer on the wait list. I'm not doing dialysis."
Oh my God. He was confused. What have you been doing?
Yeah, he was like, "What have you been doing? Because kidneys don't do this. They don't get restored like this." He was like,
"I just met some men outside and they prayed for me."
Yeah. He was like, "Men, just, these guys just prayed for me outside my house." And so it was in that neighborhood. And I know from the stage, I watched people get healed. Like, specifically, I saw one girl. She walked up to the altar with a limp and it went away. And, like, she was, like, full of joy and, like, crying. Just thankful. So.
Jesus
is so awesome. Yeah.
Yep. So, that's wild.
I think it's cool because a lot of times in moments like these, I feel personally like there's momentum, but you're like in the middle of it. But it's actually quite historical. I think, like, I don't know if you guys know about the Gulliver prophecy with like Bob Jones or people on in the airwaves.
People listening.
If you know about it, just like Columbus being called the heart and a tent pole coming out of it and signs, miracles, and wonders happening. And I'm just like, wow, this is literally prophecy happening.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful that the Lord keeps his promises.
Yeah, there's been a lot of prophetic words about, like, tents lately, too.
Yeah.
And in that word, it talks about tent pegs and tents. And I know there's a few other people have come through and or come across people from Ohio and given words about tents. And so, yeah, and we're going around the city with the tent.
Yeah, and with different people from different parts of the body in those areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's really exciting for what God's going to do. And just the lasting effects of what's going to happen. Because I was asking one of the missionaries, like, "What'd you think?" Because, like I said, I feel like I was so unaware. And I was like, "Was it successful for you? Like, what?" And they just felt really blessed by it. But one of the nights, there's a bunch of, I don't know what they're called.
They were the men, like the leaders.
They're like leaders, but it's not necessarily imams. Yeah, because that's a higher level. But it's
like elders.
Yeah. In a sense. And they came out to the crusade. And
like Muslim elders.
And it kind of just ended in just, you know, a lot of talking, debates from what I could see. But he said that one of them personally reached out to him and they exchanged numbers to continue a relationship.
Wow.
And so that's just huge. Like, and he's just a missionary who's a part of that. And so that's just like an open door. And to see just us even kind of back them up and what we did, just bless what they're doing and will continue to do. It's just really awesome.
That's huge for them too, because this was big for them because they were undercover. Doing this kind of exposed them. And so, like, because of that, like, when those people came, it could have went another way.
Yeah.
And so the fact that, like,
that is true.
They're still open to them, that's a huge door for the gospel and just for, like, the love of Christ.
Because they were kind of, like, concerned because they are kind of covert initially. You know, when they get to know people, the people know that, you know. Yeah. And, I mean, it's kind of obvious that they're not Muslim.
Yeah.
Because they're not in any traditional clothing, but... Well,
just not the head guard, but they do wear the...
That's true. They wear a middle ground clothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is what I'd say. They, like, honor their culture, but don't compromise. And,
yeah.
So, yeah. But to say, they were like, well, we're definitely going to get fully exposed to the community. Mm. And so, yeah, but it worked out, even connections and open doors for them. And obviously, you mentioned the blessing testimony that, like, meant that the people that they are in relationship are like, really touched by that. And
yeah,
that's awesome. I think, yeah, who knows what the lasting effects are, but it's just really cool that you can... just go into the city in a region and bless a nation even here. Because I know, like, I'm sure each city out there, like, in region has, like, a population of a community.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when a lot of communities from other nations move to a city, the first thing they do is find people of that nation and they find a way to get together. Because even, like, I know that we have a Nepali community.
Yeah.
And then we have friends who are, like, from Ukraine, but they're, like, Slavic. Mm-hmm. And their first thing is they know all the Slavic people in the city, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's, like...
There's a lot in Ohio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, but once you, like, find them, if you're called to a nation, I think it's... or if you feel called to it, they're probably in your city. There's probably a community in the city, a church in your city, a community, a neighborhood, a something. And... there's ways to touch even before going.
Can I say something too?
I
also want to acknowledge, like, just like that fact that there was continuous prayer. So it wasn't just like one, and giving too. Like, it wasn't just like one service each night.
Yeah.
There was outreach, and then there was also like 24/7 prayer for like 3 days straight. We had security at night, but it was cool because, like, even Catherine and Janelle, like, stood up to the plate and never really did it in public, and they signed up for a set, and I was proud of them, because y'all know Misty Edwards only started with 4 chords, so you got it. But it's just like, you could see, like, the atmosphere being set, like, every single day. It just felt the presence of God just filled that neighborhood even more,
because
the first
lighter
it did when we first got there, it's like you felt like you were kind of like, it was good, but you had to press in a little bit. But then every single day, it got lighter. And I think that, like, prayer being continual there made a difference. There was a point where we were doing a set and there were gunshots. And we were singing, "I'm no longer a slave to fear." And it's so funny because the day before, one of my friends was like, we were talking about, is that fireworks or gunshot? And I was like, this sounds like, oh no, that's gunshot. And we all got under the seats. I am a child of God. But it was crazy because the miracle was that there were cars parked illegally on the street, and we think that they actually shielded the bullets.
Wow.
It could have been a dire situation, but, like, and then the police came and they said the only thing that happened was, like, somebody got shot in the leg. I'm like, it could have been another way, like, and just like, but the presence of God, there was still so much peace,
right?
You know,
genuinely,
yeah.
And honestly, like, just to speak to, like, worship in general over that whole, like, weekend, like, I told a couple people this, but I was just like, it felt so focused. Like, worship felt focused on Jesus. It was like anything around us, like, at least for me, I couldn't get distracted. I was like, this is amazing. And it was just this, like, wow, like, it's like the real focus of the whole purpose of this event is Jesus coming to meet these people.
Yeah.
And all we want to do is usher in his presence and, like, let him go and do the rest. And, like, that truly is what it felt like when we were there. And honestly, like, we might not know what that did for a lot of people. You never know how many people have had sleepless nights for endless amounts of time, and then, like, randomly all of a sudden they're sleeping through the night or something like that. Like, it's like simple little pieces of God's presence and sowing seeds of peace or seeds of, you know, I don't know, like, whatever he wants to do in each home. But it was cool because while there was worship happening, I just felt like it really was, like, that opportunity of, like, just making space for Jesus to show up.
Yeah, it's breaking ground,
And exalting him over a space and a place that needs Jesus. And another thing I wanted to point out is just like what you guys were saying about the conversations between the like Muslim elders and like just the pastors and stuff that were at the crusade. It's cool because it's conversational and relational. Like, and if it starts with that, so be it. You know, it's like that was like that's like one little piece of a door that's like being opened to who knows, you know. But I think it's really cool because I feel like the intentionality of the weekend was there. There was so much seed sown, even just in like playing and being present with the kids and then like talking to people and like being willing to hear their thoughts and then being able to, you know, give your thoughts and then also just worship being so focused. It was just really cool. It's awesome.
Yeah.
What are your takeaways?
I'm just quietly observing. I agree with Catherine. Like, I feel like the whole time I was just like dancing and praying, like basically the whole 3 days. And what you guys might not know about that, and listeners don't know, is that I actually have like severe nerve pain in my body. So like dancing is actually really hard for me, and it actually like really has like lasting effects like afterwards. Like I couldn't walk for a little bit, you know, those kind of things. But I really felt like it was just something that the Lord really asked me to do and really wanted me to do, just to, first of all, like, break ground there. Like, you said that the kids traditionally wouldn't dance, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you said, and, like, that was, like, my prayer, like, the whole time. I'm like, I just want these kids to come up here and dance. Like, I just want these kids to come up here and dance. And, like, by the end of the third day, like, God answered that prayer. Like, the kids were all up dancing, and, like, I had a moment with one little girl when we were dancing together, and it's like there's little boys who were, you know, kind of shyly dancing, and then I was like, oh, I see you, like I see you, and they came up and like danced with me and started doing cartwheels, right. And it was just, I don't know, just like seeing the breakthrough was really, really cool. But yeah, I was just feeling like we were sowing a lot of seeds, and one of my big prayers was that people would just have like visions and dreams. And I really do believe, like, God is going to do that. Like, in the night when we were singing and praying, we did, like, a midnight to 2 a.m. set, or Catherine stayed till 3, but...
I was like, I'm still here.
And that was just, like, the song that, like, really came out of me was that people would have visions and dreams of Jesus, that he would just, like, come into their minds at night. And I really do believe that's, like, happening now. So, that's really cool.
Yeah, you did a 2-hour set anyways.
Yeah, I guess awesome. So. Yeah. I really just played piano.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
So good. And it was cool, too, just to have space to, like, to know that the whole purpose of it is to minister to Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it was like, the only audience here is at heaven. Straight up, you know?
No one there.
Staking the like, flag of heaven.
Yeah, and it's so cool. It's like, really, like, Jesus, like, you know, like, let this, like, catch your attention and come here. Like,
yeah.
We want you.
Yeah.
In this space.
So, yeah.
And it's pretty powerful, because this is just another comment. Like, there's so much to, like, there's a lot to what that might release in that, like, area and to those people.
Mm-hmm.
But I even felt my heart burning more for Jesus, like, after the end of that, like, weekend. Mm-hmm. I felt like, because I've been like there's just seasons, you know, you go through seasons of like things with the Lord, but like I feel like this past weekend for the 3 days is just like remember what this is about, remember who this is for, and like I could feel that tangible like love for Jesus again in a way I was like, wow, this is refreshing, like even just being a part of something like this where we're exalting him, but he does something in you at the same time as like being present to like, you know, minister to other people too if need be, but he's so good.
He's so good.
Ilahe Filenia, he's so good.
Ilahe Filenia.
Ilahe
Filenia. You went in that last night. That was so good. Yeah, she went all in. It was awesome.
Oh. Yeah. So
Can y'all hear that?
Oh, the clock.
There's a grandfather clock here. Ding, 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 if you ding. Don't hear it, we're just experiencing it right now. It's going to ring nine
mi,
times.
Mi, do, re, sol, re, mi, do.
But yeah, I think it'd be cool. Just know that God, even if he's not pulling you to a nation, you live in a nation.
Hey!
Yes.
And, like, there's people
you
there.
You do technically live in a nation wherever you're at.
Yeah, no matter where you are, you're in a nation. And if he's the king of the nation, you know?
Congrats. He's the king of your nation.
You're called.
And he's the king of every people group. It says every tongue will confess, every knee shall bow, like, everyone. And, you know, then so be it. Like, let's take ground where we are.
Yeah.
And not think that we have to get on a plane to do it, you know?
You live in a nation. That's a true word for everybody in this world. That's so good.
Yeah, and so, I don't know, just to encourage whoever's listening, like, if God's heart is for a certain people group, chances are you have connections to them some way, somehow. And it might not be as far as you think, so.
This is probably a quench, but.
Oh, no.
I just, you know those prophets that be like real vague, like, I see you and you live in a nation. That's where my mind went.
I feel like there's breath in your lungs right now. Anyways. Anyways. Do we want to pray?
Yeah, we can pray.
Wait, you're supposed to ask what makes Jesus the desire of the nation?
Who asked it? We asked Janelle. You got to answer.
Right, because I already answered.
Yeah, Janelle's new here.
So you want to see him state the question?
I remembered it this time. Ooh.
What makes Jesus desirable, Janelle?
For me, I think it's just the way that he like sticks with people and like doesn't leave us, never forsakes us. Like I've been through a lot of stuff in my life, and I've been far and I've been close, but no matter where I've been or who I've been with, Jesus has always been there, and I think that's what makes him desirable for me. Mm-hmm. His consistency.
Mm-hmm. A to the man.
Yeah.
Selah. Yeah. Well, does anybody want to pray? I want to pray, but I don't know. Are you going to pray?
Go ahead.
Well,
we can all chip in.
Yeah, popcorn.
You want to start? You want to end?
Okay. I just know. I don't know when we end. Yeah. So let's pray. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just invite you, just to come and speak to us now. Speak to whoever is listening. Wherever they are, and what time of day it is. But, I just thank you that you are speaking, that you do want to co-labor with us, that you do have assignments for us. So I just pray for those who feel called, certain nations or certain people groups, that they would begin to have divine encounters with them in their city. Like, if they think that they are supposed to go to this nation, but they're shut out from it right now, that there just be a divine appointments that you set up for them. That will, you know, lead to that in the future. But just now that they have the opportunity to steward that nation and be faithful even where they're planted now. And so in their day-to-day life, God, I just pray for the opportunities for that. I just pray that you'd speak to them, give them even just assignments and intercession, that you'd speak to them and speak to their heart. And just dialogue and co-labor with them, but just give them ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing, and invite them to be part of it.
Yeah, and Jesus, I just thank you so much that you truly know no borders. You are capable of reaching anyone, anywhere, at any time. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to just find people that you're chasing after anywhere. Like, you genuinely are no respecter of persons. You want everyone at your table, God. And so I just pray, Lord, that we would have eyes to see that we would get connected to the people that we're meant to be connected to, God, that we could be a walking encounter of your joy, of your peace, of your patience, of your gentleness, of your self-control, of the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, that we could walk that out, and that could be enough to speak to someone and cause them to wonder, who are you? Who is this God you serve? Like, what's different? Like, God, just... I pray for everybody listening right now that there would be something that rests on them, God, that your presence would rest mm-hmm. on them and pull out like gold, and let that be something that speaks to the people they're surrounded by, God, whether it's in their workplaces, whether they're in the neighborhood they live in, or whether it's the people groups in the areas that are much closer than they think. God, I just pray that there would be the right mm-hmm. connections, and that they would come, and that relationship would be cultivated and started, and that through that relationship, whether it's a day long or it could start to be 2 weeks long or 2 months long, Lord, that you would just use that time. Use it, Lord, and use our lives to just be seeds and to bring you glory and to mm-hmm. make your name famous, Jesus, in our cities and across the world. In Jesus' name.
Right now, I just lift up those who have a heart to do these things and to touch your heart and to touch the nations, but are afraid. Mm-hmm. God, I just pray for courage right now, Lord, that you would give mm-hmm. them the grace to stir themselves up in their most holy faith. Mm-hmm. God, that you would be with them and that you would remind them that wherever we go, that the Holy Spirit fills our mouth. God, regardless of if they might not feel like they're good at something, or they might compare themselves, Lord, mm-hmm. I just thank you for making opportunities even in the next couple of days or weeks where they can be a voice for you, God. Mm-hmm. And that burning expression of your love through evangelism and prayer and outreach, God, mm-hmm. that they can partner with you in that and not be afraid.
Yeah, Jesus, we're just thankful for the nations that are here on our streets, God. We just ask that you just meet them in their dreams, God, and have visions of you, God, and that they would just seek out us, Jesus followers, that we would just meet them randomly in coffee shops and on the street, God, and at our job, Jesus, and that mm-hmm. Relationships would be built, God, that bonds would be formed, Jesus, that only you could, that you could make, God, and that we would, the gospel would just prosper, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you all for listening. Hope you're all encouraged by that, and would love to hear maybe what happens for you guys. But yeah, you guys be blessed and have a good whatever time of day it is. Bye-bye. Bye.